You do your part. You don't have to question what I'm doing. His part has already been done.
I know.
Join Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps for a rebroadcast special of the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, they reveal how God has already made provision for us to accomplish His purpose by our confessions of faith.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm Kenneth Copeland. Again today, Charles Capps is on this broadcast and in this studio, and I'll tell you, I've been preaching with this man for a long time. We've hunted together, fished together, which means we was preaching one another the whole time we're out there doing that. And some of the most wonderful and powerful revelations of my life have come like that. And yesterday's broadcast, man, it got on me again. I sat right here and stuck a hole in my hand with this ballpoint pen. The anointing of that situation with Jesus and the truth and the power of what actually happened there and what the reason why it was written in the New Testament for us to know the intent of it all just struck me like with a blow in my spirit. And the anointing was so powerful, and His mercy and His goodness and His healing. And everybody won't center up on sin. And he answered that situation. They said, which one sinned, his mom or daddy? Who sinned? He said, neither. And then he went on about his business. He answered that with one word.
Yeah, sure did.
Father, we thank you for your word today, and we give you praise and honor. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open for revelation from heaven. Oh, the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. Sin wasn't the issue. Jesus came into this world to reveal His goodness and His mercy and His healing. And He hadn't changed, and we receive it today in Jesus' name. Yesterday, Brother Capps was teaching us and talking to us about God's intent in His Word, the Spirit of God's intent to reveal Jesus. His intent gets twisted, and when it does, then it doesn't produce any faith. In fact, right on the other hand, it'll produce fear, it'll produce doubt. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you portray the will of God to be something that isn't, there's no faith come out of that. In fact, it'll injure your faith. And we were in that yesterday. And so, Brother Charles, this is so vitally important to get back in here with it. This is the reason why you have to study to show yourself approved. You have to get in the Word and study it. Some of the problems I've noticed over the years come from punctuation marks in the English language that weren't there at all in the text that these were translated from.
That's right.
Italicized words that was somebody's idea, but in some cases was a wrong idea. And it made that verse sound like something that it wasn't. And these kind of things that can be alleviated if you pray in the Spirit and let God reveal things to you and listen. Take us into, there's example after example of it, but these major ones that have just been a faith thief for years.
That's right. Let's go over to Luke's gospel, the 11th chapter. Now, all of you have heard this preached this way. And let me give you a little story with this. I was sitting in a restaurant one day. One night after a service, I'd preached in Little Rock, Arkansas, and a fellow was sitting there at the table with me, and he said, "Now, Brother Capps, I know what you're preached tonight, that, you know, you just pray one time, and, and release your faith and thank God for it. But Jesus taught that you ought to just keep coming. You know the story about he just kept knocking and kept knocking. That's what Jesus teaches. You just keep praying and keep praying. I said, would you turn to the scripture and read that to me? It's not in my Bible. He said he just kept knocking. He just kept knocking. And so he said, I don't know where it is, but it's in the Bible. So I said, I happen to know where it is. Let me read it to you. So here we are in the 11th chapter of Luke. And he was teaching on prayer there. Now, and when he gets through in verse 5, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight? Now, notice this is a question. Which one of you would have a friend if you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is coming on a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now that's where the question mark needs to go, not at the end of 7. It goes to the end of 8. Right. I mean, at the end of 7, yeah, instead of the end of 6. It is put in the end of 6. But this whole 3 verses is a question. Mm-hmm. Which one of you? Now, I want to ask you that and the people in the studio. Which one of you would have a friend if you went to him at midnight, knocked on the door, said, my friend has come in and he's traveled and hadn't had anything to eat. And I got some tuna fish, but I don't have any bread. Would you loan me some bread? No, you ugly thing. You ought to come before I went in bed. We're in bed. You're not getting any. Which one of you would have a friend like that?
That's
I wouldn't
a
want one. If you had a friend like that, you wouldn't need any enemies, yeah, would you?
You don't need the devil.
Charles, glory to God.
Now watch this. Watch this thing unfold. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, let's read that again. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give it to him, because he is his friend. God does not answer prayer on the basis of friendship.
Well, that is so powerful.
God answers prayer on the basis of faith in his word.
That's right.
And he says, yet because of his importunity. Now, the word importunity in some cases would be interpreted, keep on keeping on. And you have to interpret this in the way that fits with the Bible and the scriptures that Jesus taught on prayer. There's no place that Jesus taught to pray and keep on praying about the same thing. He said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, this man said to me, this fellow just kept knocking. It does not say he even knocked the first time. You have to read that in there.
That's right.
He didn't say he knocked. He might have just stood and hollered in the window. But they say he just kept knocking. Now, he does mention knock down here, but watch it when we get to this. It's not talking about the man knocking. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Not if you keep on knocking.
Right.
There wasn't no knocking going on there. And wait, before I get away from this word importunity, lest I get excited and get over it, slip over it. When you say importunity, it can mean keep on keeping on. Now, if I'm fully persuaded that I'm going to get bread and I ask the man for bread, I'm just going to stand there and stand there and stand there until I get it.
If you're fully persuaded.
If I fully believe he's going to give it to me, I'm not going home without the bread. It does not say he knocked because of his importunity. Because he had enough faith in this fellow that if I come to him at midnight, he'll give me bread.
And that's all it said he did. He went to him. It didn't say he's knocking around out there.
And, you know, I had a friend of mine tell me the other day, he said, now listen, If you need me any time of the day or night, you call me. Don't you? You know.
Yes, sir.
That's what this fellow had enough faith.
You and I have had that kind of relationship for many, many, many years. I wouldn't think twice if I needed you. I wouldn't think twice about what time of day it was. And I wouldn't expect you to think twice about it either. If you need me, call me, man. And you don't have to stand out there and let it ring and ring and then hang it up and ring and ring. Why don't he answer? Ring. And I'm going to keep ringing until he answers. No, no. That's not the issue here.
Yeah. When you say keep on keeping on, that fits perfectly with faith. That means you're fully persuaded that I'm not going without the answer, and I'm just going to stand here till I get it.
Yes, sir.
And see, that's totally contrary to the way it's been preached for years and years. And you go back and study, and we don't have to get in on this broadcast, but everything Jesus said about prayer, that would violate everything Jesus said about prayer if he said just keep on praying and keep on praying about the same thing.
When you pray, believe you receive.
Believe you receive. Yes. And if you believe you receive, you go to thanking him, praising him, and acting like you have it on the inside of you and developing to see yourself with it. And this is what happened in this situation. Now, you'll notice here then that Jesus said, we'll go back to verse 8, I say unto you, though he'll not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Now, the King James, not the King James, but the, I believe it's the Amplified, says, this is in the present imperative and often repeated. Well, if it is, and I don't know about that, but if it is, then all of it is. That means you ask, and you ask, and you receive, and keep on receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And you, if you ask, it's not talking about. If it's talking about asking, keep on asking me. Show it to me in Jesus' teaching somewhere else. It's not there.
Yeah.
It is not there. You just can't find it. And I know some of you think it is in there. If you find it, show it to me sometime. it's not there. Jesus' teaching was emphatic about prayer. And whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. And the original Greek or the ancient Greek says, you've got it.
That's right, yeah.
If you believe, you received. Then if I believed I was receiving that bread, I wouldn't leave and I wouldn't keep on knocking. I'd just wait for him to bring it to me.
You know, I did notice some time ago in this, there is a sense. This is an Eastern book, not a Western book.
Yes.
And
right.
there is a sense in that you ask, I'm ready before you ask me. You knock, I'll be opening that door before you knock on the door. It's covenant relationship. It is God is so ready for his people. And like we said yesterday, all this time, I thought I was waiting on him, and he's been waiting on me. And he's ready. And this is what Jesus is saying about it. You ask, it's ready. It's there for you.
That's what he's saying, because the bottom line of it is, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And now this is the only place that says anything about knocking, and it's not really connected with this up here. He's just talking about the situation here, an overall view of it. Everyone that asketh, receiveth.
That is so good.
So, you know. Now, somebody said, well, I know that's not true because I've asked and I didn't receive. Yeah, but he says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers like a wave of the sea driven of the wind tossed, let not that man think he'll receive anything.
That's right.
And then people say, well, you know, how long, you know, and they just keep praying. And how long is it going to take? How long does it take? I've been confessing the word. How long does it take? Just stay with it. heard a story about a coon dog one time. This fellow had a coon dog. He says, best coon dog in the world. He said, he'll have a coon up a tree in 10 minutes. And he said, one thing about this dog, he'll never lie. Yeah, when he trees, you'll find a coon. And, of course, the guy said, well, if he's that good, I'll pay $5,000 for him. So they went to the woods. Sure enough, first 10 minutes, coon up a tree, and they got the coon. Another 10 minutes, another coon. The third time he treed, is a sapling about that big, not a leaf on the tree, not a hole in it, and no coon to be seen. He said, I thought you said this dog didn't lie. He said, now, I'll tell you, I forgot to tell you one thing about this dog. He is so fast, sometimes he gets there before you get there before you do. Just sit down, and the coon will be along in a minute. The dog got there before the coon did, you know. And some of you thought God was late, and just sit down and rest in the peace of what you prayed. He'll be along any time. Oh, I've already talked myself happy.
Well, the problem, Jesus' intent here, all through all this whole thing, through his entire New Testament ministry, through the entire ministry of the Apostle Paul, all the way through the whole New Testament, is to realize that the problem's not with God. God took the problem. He took it on himself. He fixed it. The problem is not in what he has refused to do. The problem has been in our not receiving what he's already done. And that's where the faith issue comes. That's where the love of God issue comes. All of these things, the words of your mouth, all that has to do with receiving. It's not God holding out. It's no connection there.
Paul said, you know, in 2 Corinthians 2, he said, all the promises of God are yes and amen.
And amen, yes, sir.
God's already said yes to it, and you ought to be saying, so be it. In other words, saying the same thing God said, and we're back to confession again, aren't we?
That's where you're going to wind up every time. Because amen means that's the end of it now. Yep, that work is finished, so enter into the finished work with your faith.
It's like that guy said, just sit down over here. It'll happen any minute now. You just got there ahead of God.
Yeah. Just you do your part. You don't have to question whether God do his. His part has already been done. He's released it, and the devil can't keep it from happening. The only thing he can do is con you out of it if he can get you to enter into doubt, unbelief, or any of that, or religion. Charles, religion is what preached all of these things on the negative side of things. But if you can move that aside, and begin to do what Jesus said to do, it is all tailored so you can have it now. It is tailored to receive from his ministry. What would be the use of God having a ministry on Jesus if he wasn't going to let you receive from it?
Right.
If he wasn't going to let you receive, he could have just sat there and not done anything. You could just go on to hell on your own. The fact that it is a ministry means that there's something for him to minister to you that he intends for you to have.
Yeah, that's it. And all the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes. Now, here's the reason we're dealing with these, the intent of the word, because if you don't get the intent of it, you can get a false image of what the word is teaching, and even though you're believing the best you know how, you may be believing wrong. Now, let me show you an incident over here. One of the things we ought to look at is in Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. I made a statement several times, and I want to explain it here, that faith always stops at the question mark. And we have some things that will validate that here in this situation. And in Mark, the first chapter, verse 39 and down through few verses. And Jesus, he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, casting out devils or demons. And there came unto him a leper, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, notice, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole.
He had a question.
He is fully persuaded that Jesus can do it, if it's his will.
And he's hung right there.
He's hung there. Yeah. Now, notice what happened. Some of you said, oh, if Jesus had come down and touched me, I'd get healed. No, if you didn't believe it was his will, it'd be like laying hands on a stump.
Yeah.
But he's not coming. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from his destruction. He is coming, but not to lay hands on a specific person. In fact, you'll notice Jesus never laid a hand on a person for the specific purpose of healing after he rose from the dead.
That's
because
right.
He lost his right to operate as a man. And God gave mankind authority over his earth. But now watch this. Jesus moved with compassion. Now, when you see that, the anointing is about to come forth.
Yes.
Put forth his hand and touched him. And nothing happened, just like laying hands on a stump. Nothing happened. Now, stay with me. It'll turn out all right. He put forth his hand and touched him. Now, wasn't Jesus anointed?
Oh, absolutely.
He laid his hand on him for the purpose of bringing healing to his body. And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now he knows his will. Now read the next verse.
Yes, sir.
And as soon as he had spoken. Now wait a minute, he laid his hand on him first.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Jesus said, I will, immediately the leprosy departed from him.
The question.
But now he laid hands on him first.
Yeah.
No power flowed.
It was there.
The woman with the issue of blood just slipped up behind him, didn't touch him, just touched the hem of his garment. He was anointed. She drew that anointing of faith, and she said, when I touch his clothes,
and that
I'll be restored to faith.
That made the demand, didn't it?
But now here it reveals that he laid hands on him, but it's Mark caught this. He said it was after he was spoken before the anointing flowed.
When he said, I will. He revealed the will of God for all men, for all time. And the moment that man knew the will of God, his faith made a connection with that anointing. And leprosy said, we out of here. We can't take this. Brother Charles and I'll be back in just a minute.
For every believer longing to receive the blessing God has provisioned for each of us, for anyone with a friend or loved one in need of the victory that is the result of Bible faith, Kenneth Copeland Ministries offers the spiritual perspectives of Charles Capps, presented in this profound book, Faith and Confession. Faith and Confession is a practical, biblical look at exactly how to activate Bible faith in your daily life. This is nearly 300 pages that clearly outline how the faith-born confessions of God's Word tap into the supernatural realm of blessings. This is a 21st century look at the biblical principle that balances faith and confession. In this book, Charles Capps explains how the law of faith works, the difference between a confession and a lie, and how to use wisdom when acting on faith. The abundant life God desires for every believer is within reach. For you and for someone you love, Faith and Confession from Charles Capps will open the door.
To order your copy of Charles Capps' book, Faith and Confession, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book is essential for your family and is available for just $12. To order by phone, call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy of Faith and Confession by Charles Capps today.
I want to make a point here, particularly for those of you that maybe not all that familiar with our ministries and our type of ministries and so forth. Let me tell you something. Why do you think Charles Capps wrote this book and the many other books that he's written over the years, Faith and Confession, How to Activate the Power of God in Your Life? Why? Why did he do this? Just to sell books? No. Why did he do it?
to help you get the power of God in your life. Well, why did God write this book? So he could sell Bibles? No, that wasn't God's intention at all. He wrote this book. That's the reason Charles Capps wrote this book, is to get your needs met, get you healed, get your faith alive, and get it on the line. That it's not a big mystery, but it is different from anything the world knows outside this book. Bible faith comes from the Bible, and the Bible is not the story of God's power, it's the story of His love. And you see the manifestation of His power in behalf of you because He loves you. Now, get your hands on this book. If you don't have one of these, get your hands on this one first. And then get a hold of this one. Praise the Lord. And get your faith into action. Praise God. Charles, this has been good today. Important things have been said, and important ground has been covered. Praise God. If you missed it, go to kcm.org and get in there and go over and over and over it again. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org. or call us toll-free, 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
I'm telling you, the Word works. Speak it into adversities, it will turn around.
And I mean, we are praying, name of Jesus, wielding bunch of believers that'll carry out what God's called us to do in the earth.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savell, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Have you ever met you? I want you to join me for 2 weeks right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm going to take the time to introduce you to you. I'm going to tell you who the Word says you are and bring definition to your life, not according to your past, but according to who you are in Christ.
Be sure to mark your calendars for these special broadcasts.